Tonight I'm going to teach on the subject, the science of staying on top. I've been teaching on the science of the Christian life. Tonight's study is not going to apply to you at all. If you're a preacher boy, it's going to apply to you, but you'll get the idea of how to take what I'm giving you tonight and applying it to your own life. I think you'll see it after a while, so don't think it has nothing to do with you. Then also, I want you, not now, but when I finish tonight, if you won't take any notes while I'm talking, when I finish, I'm going to go back and give you all, let's see, I've got 18 points tonight, let's see, 10 minutes a point, I promise you I'll go back and I'll give you the points and let you write them down after I finish. But I want to tell you what they are and talk to you about them first, and then after it's all over, those who are still awake, we will go back and we will write down, I'll let you write down one, two, three, what they are. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Verse number 1. I'm going to read the first six verses. I'll ask you to follow along silently as I read aloud. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives, and were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept till they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captive, Ruth and Betty. And verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. I like this, the soul of all the people. The soul of a group. Didn't say the souls, didn't say the souls of all the people, but the soul. A group of people has a soul. And let's look down to verse number, same thing. The soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. And here's my text. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now David had to be encouraged, but all those folks weeping there, they couldn't encourage him. They had lost a battle. Their wives and their children were taken captive. All of those folks were crying. But here we have a leader. A leader's got to stay on top. And how's David going to be encouraged? He's going to encourage himself. Here's what it means. It means that David used good sense to get himself on top so he could get his people on top. And I want you to listen tonight. I really believe I can, by showing you the way I live to encourage myself, I believe that I believe you can apply it to your own life and your own schedule to know how you can encourage yourself. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these lessons, and I pray you help us to better live the Christian life. Now, it seems like to me we ought to study how to live it and learn how to live it and be experts on how to live it. Bless our study tonight. May it benefit each of us and all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me very carefully. My calling in life is to be a pastor. Now, that means that it's my job, among others, my principal job is to lead you in spiritual matters. And in so doing, it's my job to try to keep you, to lift your spirits and keep your spirits healthy. That's my job. I hope that when you come to church here, you go home feeling better than when you came. I hope that you feel your spirits are lifted. It's my job to keep you on top side. If you don't think it's a hard time to keep you on top side, you just try keeping you on top side. Now, that means this. That means that nearly, I have written down here all that I do, and I think I could say that honestly, or I could say it dishonestly, but I think I can say it honestly. but I won't say all. I'll say nearly all, and I try to see to it that all that I do is to equip myself to encourage you. So that means that I must then have only those influences in my life that will keep me on top side so I can keep you on top side. And that's the case with any leader. You're not a pastor of a church, but you're the head of a household, and your husband is also there. Are you coach of an athletic team, or you are the head of a corporation, or you are the teacher of a class, or you are the principal of a school. Now, your job, likewise, is to keep those who follow you on top side. Now, as I said, I then must see to it that I only allow those influences to influence me. I know that's not a good way to put it, but that you understand it. I only must allow those influences that are positive to influence me, that I may keep you positive and keep you on top side. Now, there are several things that influence me. They influence each of us. One is people influence us. That's one reason why that I feel that I must be very, very careful concerning my relationship with people and my fellowship with you. And I'm going to give a study one of these Wednesday nights, maybe next week, on the subject, the science of fellowship, of Christian fellowship. Now, let me say it again. My job is to keep you going on top side. If I keep you on top side, I've got to stay on top side. But I have nobody to keep me on top side, so I must do what the Bible says David did. I must encourage myself. Now, if I encourage myself, I must discipline. Don't leave me now. I must discipline myself to allow only those influences to influence me that will keep me on top side so I can influence you to stay on the top side. That means that I must be careful about my fellowship with people. There are some people I'll not talk to a long time at one time because they depress me. And in order for me to keep from being depressed, if I'm depressed, I'll depress you. If I'm on top side, I can help you be on top side. Then I must not allow myself to be influenced by people that would bring me down, or I will bring you down. But that isn't the study tonight. Then there is the matter, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, the matter of schedule. The very nature of my schedule. Now, listen carefully to this. Here I am supposed to keep you on top side. But the very nature of my schedule means that I'm around depressed people most all the time. I mean, if you could have sat in my office this afternoon, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, you just wouldn't believe it. If you had just sat in there this afternoon, and it's that way all the time. Nobody comes to the preacher's office and says, just came by to tell you everything's going great. Oh, buddy, pat you on the back, glad to see you. Nobody does that. Everybody comes in and cries. I spray onion freshener in the room, and everybody comes in and cries. One lady came in not long ago. She said, I've come in from a regular sinus treatment. And everybody comes in there and cries because everybody comes in there and sad. If you're not sad, I'll tell you my problems. I'll make you sad before you leave. But I'm saying, now listen, here I've got to walk through that door on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and lift your spirit. When all you've done all week is come to my office and ruin mine. Now, that means this. There are two things that occupy much, if not most, of my life. Number one is counseling with people, with people who are discouraged or depressed or defeated or sad or in trouble. Secondly, I keep this entire monster around here going organizationally. I'm what they call the CEO, I guess. I'm the chief executive officer. I've got to see to it that the money's raised. I've got to see to it that business is cared for. And I know that I answer 1,000 questions every week from these men who had different departments. Now, that means I carry this unbelievable administrative and financial risk burden. That means I carry the burdens of the depressed and the diseased and the heartbroken and the broken families and the people that have heartbreak and the people that have sorrow and the people that have problems. I carry those all the time. Now, that means since I live in an influence of negatives and heaviness, I must schedule myself. Now, listen to this statement. I must schedule myself so that the negative influences do not keep me from hurting you. You follow me? Basically, this is what I'm saying. I've got to schedule myself so that when I walk through that door, what happened to me since Sunday night will not bring you down. And since I live most of my life with people in trouble, people that are burdened, and people that have heartaches, and also carrying the financial administrative load of a big thing like this, then I have to be very careful to so schedule myself so when I walk out that door on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and for that matter, pretty well all the time, I've got to so schedule myself so that I will be on top side and so I can keep you on top side. Now listen to me. Many a pastor has resigned his pulpit, his church, because he didn't do what I'm talking about tonight. And many a church has had trouble because the pastor didn't do what I'm talking about tonight. And I'll promise you this. I'll promise you that much of the problem that you have in your marriage and much of the problem that you have in your home and much of the problems that you have with human relationships are because you don't do what I'm going to talk about tonight. Now, okay, what do I do? How do I stay on top side? I'm just going to call these off and say a word or two about each one, then go back and read them off and let you write them down in case you want to. People are always trying to destroy my spirit. Now listen to this. By the time I get through with this, I'm going to be in a lousy mood. But people are off. Look, as I said a while ago, the counseling, the heavy counseling. And, as I said a while ago, the heavy financial load for a country preacher to operate all this multi-million dollar project around here, an endeavor around here. But that isn't all. While I'm doing this, people are shooting at me. I don't mean with guns all the time. But people are criticizing me, and people are slandering me, and people are mad at me, and people don't like me, and people spread stuff about me, and newspapers write articles about me, and all the time. Now, what does it mean? It means with those three things, my living with brokenhearted people, and my carrying the big load around here, plus the fact that people are trying to destroy me and trying to hurt me, means that if I stay on top side, it'll be on purpose. And by the way, if you stay on top side, it'll also be on purpose. Now, here's some things I do, and they won't affect you, but they'll give you the idea. Number one, I take care of no business late at night. No business late at night. All the business of this church is cared for in the daytime. Now, we have a deacon's meeting and discuss business. That's one thing. But as far as my handling the church business, it's all done in the daytime. I don't need at 9 o'clock at night, or 10 o'clock at night, or 8 o'clock at night for that matter, I don't need to wonder how we're going to meet the payment on our insurance next month. I don't need to look at the offering. By the way, I don't look at the offering on Sunday. I haven't got the foggiest idea what it is. I know preachers that go straight to the pulpit on Sunday morning and go to see what the offering was, and it's down. They're down on Sunday night. I'm saying I take care of no business late at night. I want to sleep when I go to bed. And not just because I want to sleep when I go to bed, but I want to be on top side for you, so I take care of no business late at night. Number two, I take care of no counseling or business before I preach. I take care of no counseling or business before I preach. I know people, preachers, who have deacons' meetings on Sunday night before church. Honestly, I go to church after church. Man alive, what a way to ruin this. This is a Sunday night service. I don't even speak to deacons on Sunday. But I'm saying by the way, some of you college students, you may not be as smart as I am. Most of you are, but you might ought to listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that I take care of. No counseling or business. Don't come to my office before church on Sunday morning and expect to counsel me. I won't do it. Don't come on Sunday night. Don't meet me in the alley and say, give me some advice. I won't do it. I will not counsel or take care of business right before I preach. Number three, I take care of the heavy stuff. I'm not talking about people now. I take care of the heavy stuff on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Well, this is, you don't know it, but this help you if you'd apply it to your business. And you preacher boys, you get these notes and you live by them. Listen, young people over here, I'm talking to you as well as I'm talking to anybody. And you have no more right than anybody else. Sit over there and talk. You behave yourselves. I'm saying that I take care of the heavy business on Monday. Why? Because I don't come out and preach to you on Monday night. But you say, Brother Hounds, you preached on Monday night, didn't you? Yeah, I preached in Jacksonville, Florida, Monday night and Tuesday night. Well, you said you took care of heavy business on Monday? Yeah, yeah. I don't love those folks like I love you. They're not my life like you are. And by the way, I don't know their burdens like I know yours. I can get up and preach on heaven down there, but I know how mean you are, and I can't preach on heaven here. I got a fella came to church one time, and after the service came by, and he said, Brother Howes, I learned about a new place. I said, what's that? He said, this morning in your sermon, learned about a new place. I said, what are you talking about? I said, what's this new place you learned about? He said, heaven. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been a member of this church for 5 years. All I've gotten is you preached on is hell since I've been here. I'm glad to learn about a new place. Well, sure, if you didn't make so much of it, I wouldn't have to preach about it so much. Anyway, I'm saying that I take care of my heavy stuff on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday and Friday. Number four, I have no heavy appointments on Saturday. I may take care of business on Saturday, but no heavy appointments. Now, by heavy appointments, I mean appointments that could discourage me. I'm not talking about, I'm trying to help a couple, a marital problem, that doesn't bother me. I'm talking about if I have a heavy appointment that where there's one little chance of discouraging me at all. Why? I don't want to get discouraged. I want to stay encouraged. You say, why? Because my job is to keep you encouraged. And if I'm not encouraged, I can't keep you encouraged. So I encourage myself. But look, you don't encourage yourself, but say, cheer up self, cheer up self, cheer up self, cheer up self, encourage self, encourage, 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 encourage. You don't do that. You do it with your stupid brain. You plan your life so that you encourage yourself by the stimulus that affects you. You find out what stimuli affect you, and you only allow the stimuli to affect you that encourages you when you get close to the time when you're supposed to encourage somebody else. Number five. I said no appointments on Sunday. Number five, no appointments on Sunday. No appointments on Sunday. No. Now, I'll stand at the door on Sunday after the services and answer your questions. Or I'll give you quick advice. But people come by after the service and say, well, the house, I've got a decision that's going to affect my entire life. What do you think? I say, I think I shouldn't give it now. No. I give no appointments on Sunday. People oftentimes say to me, well, the house, I can't see you during the week. I'll see you on Sunday. Then you won't see me at all. Why? Because my main job on Sunday is not getting down and counseling with you. My main job on Sunday is walking in that door and giving you this book and lifting your spirit and lifting your heart and lifting you closer to God and encouraging you. And I can't encourage you when I walk in the pulpit. You got me down before I walk in the pulpit. That's one reason why when I walk down the alley, I walk down the alley with a bunch of nuts. Gerald Price. Brother Tim. Brother Dick Liebig. And other assorted screwballs. And we joke all the way down the alley. You used to have a fellow walk down the alley with me. The last thing he'd say before I walked in that door. You've seen these people that encourage you with the backhand. And he'd pat me on the back and say, preacher, I want you to know, when you walk in the sacred desk, I'm for you, no matter what they say. And I said, what did they say? And during the whole sermon, what did they say? Hey, The secret to preaching is to lose yourself. And this, I do that about once every 2 years. And but the secret to preaching is to lose you. And if you're thinking about two things at one time, then you're not going to be successful preaching. And by the way, the secret to life is to lose yourself. Forget yourself and lose yourself. And I can't do that if I'm discouraged when I walk in that door right there. Now, why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you do that getting ready for your husband to come home at night? Why couldn't you do that getting ready for your children to come in from school? Why couldn't you do things like you've got a responsibility in your life. You've got a purpose for your life like I have a purpose for my life. And you ought to schedule yourself so you can be to those people that need you what they need you to be so they can be what they need to be. Number six. My heaviest appointments are on Thursday night. So all you folks that have an appointment tomorrow night with me, you're the ones I dread the most. Now, let me say this. There are times, like this afternoon, when I had no other time, I had to have a heavy appointment. I'm giving you my usual 99.44% practice, but there are times when emergencies come up when I have to deviate. But my heaviest appointment's on Thursday night. Why? If I get down on Thursday night, it's not going to affect you. Because I've got Friday and Friday night and Saturday night and to get back on top side. But I will not take the same type of appointments on Saturday night I'll take on Thursday night. Why? Because I won't take a chance on. And by the way, did you ever think, you ladies, I guess I'm after you most because you're more sinful than we are. But did it ever dawn on you that if your husband works in public, that he leaves happy people and comes home to a crab? Did it ever dawn on you that? Oh, you say, I'm just down. Well, then get to know yourself so you'll know what can get yourself up. I know preachers. Here's what they do. I made this statement yesterday. I told the people yesterday at noon, that Brother Young, he was there. I said, we're having a special day in his honor. It's his going away party. But now, that confirms the will of God. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I said yesterday at the luncheon, when I was talking to preachers, I said, I know preachers. a fellow stood up and he said, should my wife be a part of my ministry? I said, no, she'll be your wife. The title preacher's wife is not an official title. And I said, no, she's supposed to be your wife. I ask you, call these young men every once in a while. You come to me and say, well, Brother Hans, what shall I look for in a wife? Shall I look for somebody that's a good teacher? No, hire an assistant pastor. Shall I look somebody that can play the piano? No, hire one. Or shall I look somebody that can sing? No, buy a record. What you look for? Look somebody can smooch. Neck and pet. Finally got your attention, didn't I? See, I told you my job is to get you on top side. That's what it's all about. I said, but here's what you rascals do. I said, you go home and you unburden yourself to your wife. And tell her every stinking problem and those that smell good too. Every problem you had all day long, you just throw it on her, unburden her. And you get her down, and she starts to cry, and she's down, and you look at her and say, you never lift me up. Well, you knocked her down, dummy. I'm saying, you are responsible. You listen to me. You are responsible to be self-disciplined enough to know what affects you adversely so when you are adversely affected, it's not about the time you're supposed to come in contact with those that you love and lead. Number seven, I read no mail or notes before I preach. Do you know what I am? I'm the First Baptist Church complaint department. used to have a sign, the paratroopers, through these doors past the greatest soldiers in the world. Under my door passes the rottenest notes in the world. If somebody sees something in college they don't like, under my door comes the note. Somebody goes out to high school for a PTA meeting or a parents meeting and sees something they don't like, under my note comes the door. Somebody comes in here and can't find a seat, but how's that? Under my note comes the door. That's right. See? I'm down. I mean, doesn't matter what it is. If Junior didn't start in the Little League, and that boy that can't play half as good as he did played, and Junior didn't get to play but one inning, that door comes under my note too. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I kid you not. If you want to get discouraged sometime, listen to me. Read the notes that come out of my door. If you want to get really discouraged, read the doors that come out of my notes. But I'm saying, well, if you think I read those notes that you stick under my door on Sunday, you got another thing coming. Because I know what you write. My daughter was not the captain of the football team this year. And in this case, the woman was right because her daughter's more masculine than the boy we have at the high school. But I'm saying, my junior got a B when he should have gotten an A. Here comes a note under my door. Youth activity came in 15 minutes late. Note under my door. They got there early last time and nobody, my daughter had to wait for me 15 minutes. Note under my door. This time they're on time. They're not predictable. Note under my door. The ones that really bother me are those in the Spanish department. I think it's cussing under my door. But I'm saying, so if you think I read those cotton picking notes on Sundays, you got another thing coming. Do you know when I read your notes that you write me on Sunday? On Monday morning on the airplane. After it's too late for me to do anything about the complaint. If you think you're going to upset me on Sunday, you got another thing coming. Why? Because I have got to feed you. And I have got to lift your spirits. And I've got to encourage you. And if I read those notes, I caught on to you too. One time, 7 years ago, I said, folks, I'll read your note. If it's a good one, right on the outside. This is a good letter. And some of my enemies got a hold of that, and they'd write, this is a good letter. And for them, it was. But what am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the doors come under my notes all the time. But now listen to me. I am not going to slide through life and let... Here you are. Just sort of floating through life. And the wind blows this way, and the wind blows back this way, and you blow back this way. And the wind blows this way. Now, I'm not going to do that. I am going to decide what kind of mood I'm in. And I'm going to find out what puts me in a good mood and what puts me in a sad mood. If I need to be sad, there's some of you folks, I'll call you. I mean, I'm not going to just blow with go with the wind. I'm not going to do it. But that's your problem. I don't know what's wrong. Well, find out what's wrong. I've said it 1,000 times. If you have a good day, when the day's over, write down what you did and have another one. If you have a bad day, when it's all over, write down what you did and don't have another one. I'm saying that live life on purpose. I said a while ago, there's certain people. If I want to get in a good mood, and I mean these are good people, like, we got people here right now. In this room, write the notes like this. I want you, dear Brother Howes, I just want to let you know I love you. I have stood up against some of your enemies 37 times in the last 2 days. Thanks a lot. And that's why I don't read your notes. I look down at the bottom, see who wrote it, and I don't read it. You say, you don't read my notes. If you listened a while ago, you wouldn't have to ask that.
I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a way to be happy in life. You remember that character in Little Abner? His name was Joe Spitzabook. Remember him? Joe Spitzabook. It was raining on him all the time. Beautiful day, but his cloud followed him. Just rained all the time on him. He didn't know it. That's what I do. I just go through life not knowing what's going on down there. It's raining down there below the clouds, but I don't know about it. Why? Because I don't go down there and find out what's going on down there. And you say, Brother House, why don't you face reality? I am facing reality. And the reality is, if you're dying with cancer, you need a man of God up here that's on top side. And if your daughter just ran off with a boy, you need somebody up here that's on top side to lift your spirits. And if you just lost your job, or your husband just found out he has cancer, or your child has leukemia, you need somebody up here that's on top side. And I refuse to let circumstances and influences promiscuously determine what kind of mood I'm in.
Number eight. No. Yeah, number eight. I take care of heavy business on Mondays and Thursdays. I'm talking about if the budget's got to be cut at the college. I take care of that every Monday and every Thursday. I'm talking about heavy business. Folks will tell you that I'll get upset about business more, about finances more than anything else. And so I do all I can to take care of my heavy business on Monday and Thursday. Number nine, all of the big problems I take care of in the daytime. That's sort of turning inside out something I said a while ago. I take care of all the big problems in the daytime. Number 10, you won't like this. I don't read your letters that you put on the pulpit. Folks, I am not as dumb as you look, for which I will be eternally grateful. Now, what kind of idiot do you think I am? Don't answer that. I quit that a long time ago, because here's what you write. Please tell the people to move their coats. They're breaking your rule. Well, you move the coats. But I don't read those anymore. No. All right. There are two fellows in the back. Look like they're on a motorcycle gang. They both have guns. Now, I've gotten notes like that. You remember that sermon I preached like this? Remember the invisible sermon? You say, Bill House, you sure are smart. No, I'm not. You sure are dumb. I'm normal. So, you put your sweet little letters up here on the pulpit. One was up here tonight. I haven't got the foggiest idea what it said. You say, Bill House, why? Because I want to help you, and I can't help you if I read a bunch of negative notes. Now, I'm sure some of the notes are good notes, but I don't know which ones are good and which ones are bad. So I just don't do it. See, listen, my entire life is wrapped up in trying to stay what you need. That's my whole life. I am trying. For example, we're having fun tonight. Four or five of us are. But really, we are. And you know how we're having fun tonight? Hey, you know what time I went to bed last night? I'm going to break your heart. I went to bed at 12:35. You know what time I woke up this morning? At 3:25. That's 2 hours and 50 minutes of sleep. We went to the airport. Walked into check in, and the sign said, flight canceled. There's nothing I enjoy any more than sitting at the airport. There's so many things you can do at the airport. You can eat a hot dog, and you can eat a bagel, and you can eat a cinnamon roll, and eat another hot dog, and another bagel. So, finally they said, we got you on another flight. We'll, I was in Jacksonville. It said, we'll fly you to Orlando. One of those luxurious planes, 19-passenger plane. And they're made for people who weigh 90 pounds from Mars. I flew to Orlando, got to Orlando after my flight having been canceled, and I went to the gate for the flight to Orlando. They would have gotten here in time to preach on chapel. And, would you believe it? The front landing gear was off the plane. So I sat there for 2.5 hours. Hot dog, bagel, cinnamon roll, another hot dog. Now, I'm saying the honest truth is, you don't, we're having fun anyway. And you know why? I haven't got a foggiest idea why. Tell you exactly why, because I walked in that door tonight on top side. And I walked in that door tonight on top side because I know what makes me feel good, and I know what makes me feel bad, and I know that you need me to feel good, and so I am going to do what makes me feel good so I can be good for you when I walk in here. Now, why don't you do that for those you love? Number 11. I do not read anonymous correspondence. I write it, but I will not read it. Guy messes with me, boy, I'll write an anonymous letter. I'm not scared to. I don't read it. No, if you don't put your name on, if you don't put your, you know, I used to, this kind of note. There's a deacon in this church that was rude to me as an usher this morning. Well, rude back at him, but not signed. Now, what can I do? We got nearly 100 deacons. I don't know which one it was. And I don't know who you are. And I don't know whether you deserve to be rude to or not. So, I won't read anonymous correspondence. Number 12. I never read nasty mail or nasty articles. Never do. Folks write nasty articles about me. I don't know what's in them. Well, I have to run from you sometimes to keep you from telling me. And don't stick them under my stupid door. I don't read them. Don't read them. People sit with the house. How's the battle going? What battle are you talking about? I don't read the Hammond Times. I don't know what they write about me, except when you stick it under my door. I don't read their articles. I don't read nasty letters. None. Number 13. I know whose letters to read. Jezebel is not getting through. I know whose letters to read. There are 2 or 3 people here tonight. I won't read your letters. And in some cases, you even love me. But I know what kind of letters you write. For example, you're mad at somebody else. And you'll write me to tell me how sorry they are. So I quit reading them. I don't read them. I don't read nasty letters. Don't read nasty mail. You see, here's what it amounts to. That's why I don't go to the doctor. I have never been to the doctor yet without getting bad news. At my age, ain't no telling what's wrong with me. You think I want to know? If I have an ulcer, I don't want to know about it. Did you ever read those ulcer diets? I don't go on an ulcer diet. I just go through life thinking I'm wonderful. Everybody loves me. Nobody hates me. I'm popular. I'll probably be the next mayor of Hammond. You know why? I do it for your sake. Sure. You're laughing right now. You wouldn't be laughing right now if I'd gotten all down in the dumps before I walked in here a while ago. And you might could help your husband or wife that way. You might could help your children even enjoy home. You know, our kids are listen to me, girls. When our kids are growing up, I never met them griping at them. Just where have you been? Do you know how late you are? If Cindy came home late on a date, now with Jack Scott, she wanted to come home early. But when Cindy came home late on a date, I didn't go to the door and say, just where have you? Your mother and I have been worried. The truth is, I've been working. Mother's been asleep for 2 hours. You know what I decided? I decided that no boyfriend she had, or no friends that she had, were going to be more cheerful when they told her goodbye than I was when I told her hello. And I got in competition. So I'm simply saying, if I was going to scold her, I'd wait a day or two. And then I'd do it when I was not angry. Number 14. Oh, this is good. It's all good. I prepare the conversation before talking to negative people. Listen to me now. I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about good negative people. Yeah, I'm talking about the folks that feel good under the circumstances. I'm talking about folks that you wouldn't dare ask them how they're feeling because you don't have time to hear it. I have certain preachers who are good men. I mean good men, decent, honest, clean, moral, spiritual men who walk with God. Well, I'm thinking about a preacher I used to go preach for him every year. I don't anymore, thank God. It's about an hour's drive from the hotel from the airport. By the time I said hello, he didn't even ask how his house was. He didn't ask how the church was. One solid, stupid hour, we'd discuss what's wrong with the Masonic Lodge. I can tell you, I am an expert on the Masonic Lodge. And the next year I'd come, we'd spend the whole hour on what's wrong with the Illuminati. Illuminati. As far as I'm concerned, Illuminati is just a place that fixes light bulbs. I don't know, but that's funny. We should have understood that. But I'm saying, I got where I made me a list of things talk about. And he'd say, he said, I want to talk to you about the 32nd degree. Yeah, degree. Hey, did you ever know so-and-so? He got a degree. He got his degree. That's right. And I'd go down through my list. And usually, but I got to remember the time he'd take me back to the airport on Wednesday at noon. He was upset with me because I never had talked to him about his depressing stuff. Now, you said, Brother Hines, maybe he won't talk about the Masonic Lodge. That's what he got married for. Talk to his wife about it, not me. I prepare my conversation before talking to negative people. Brother Roy, have you ever noticed how I always have a list when I'm with you? Number 15. You preachers, boys, ought to get this. I re-outline every sermon I preach right before the service. I re-outline every sermon I preach right before the service. I have in my briefcase in my office a file of probably 45, 50 sermons totally prepared that I think God wants you to hear pretty soon. I plan to preach 5 of them next Sunday morning. But I have, now, I know what I'm going to preach usually, what sermon I'm going to preach. Okay, I know both sermons I'm going to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night right now. Now, I'm preaching Sunday morning, for example, on this one thing I know. Well, you didn't listen last Sunday at all, did you? You have no idea how that hurts, I'll tell you for sure. My sermons are fully outlined. I walk in my office about 7:30 Sunday morning. I will take the full outline that I could preach from just like that, and I will re-outline that sermon for two reasons. One is, the whole thing is fresh on my mind, because I've just re-outlined it. Two, as I go through on Sunday morning, I usually can add about 20 minutes to it. So I can depress you. But I re-outline my sermon before the service. Number 16, I set a time for everything. I set a time for everything. I'm not going to elaborate on that. But the last one, and I'm just going to give you 17. I have what I call mini vacations. It's a horrible term, but I have little things that I enjoy doing that I intersperse through my weekly schedule. For example, I don't like to go out of town on Monday. Any other time. I'm a homeboy. I love to. I'm a home man. Home old man. I'm a home old man. But what did I say wrong? No, I didn't say homo man. No, I didn't say that. I did not. I wish you'd listen to what I say that's right as well as you listen to what I say that's wrong. I'm a home old man instead of a homeboy. Oh. So, when I get to the airport, for years I bought me a hot dog. Don't do that anymore. Have you noticed hot dogs at O'Hare Field not as good as they used to be? Have you noticed that? They've done something to those hot dogs I don't buy. I buy me a bagel. Now, I don't heat it. I like it hard. And I buy me a Diet Coke. Now, this is a little mini vacation. Every Monday morning I go to the airport. And I'll sit there, something to drink. And I'll sit there and I will eat. And a bagel, you can't eat quickly. That's why I eat a bagel. Most of them are tough, and so it takes a while to eat them. And now Larry Weller takes them like pills. But I look forward to that. Now here's another. I get on the airplane. I get me a USA Today paper, and I start reading it while I eat my bagel. And then I read the USA Today paper while the plane is loading every week. And then when the plane backs off from the gate, I go to sleep. Always go to sleep. Unless Ray Young's with me, and he throws up on me. The sissy guy gets sick of his stomach every time he's on a plane. Last time I flew with him, where we talked at all, he went straight from the airport to the hospital and had to blow his stomach out or something. But I go to sleep. Now, I worked on myself very carefully today to be in a good mood. Now you say with the house, when do you wake up? When the airplane engine's gun to take off, they wake me up. I wake up. Go to work. But I look forward to it. It takes about O'Hare Field between 10 and 20 minutes between the time you start to back out to the time you actually start down the runway. So I take about 10 or 20 minutes nap. I look forward to it. I look forward to my bagel. Next year I'm scheduled for every day to leave town. But I look forward to my bagel. I am Tuesday, 2:30, I get back to the room as near as I can, 2:30 Tuesday afternoon, after I preach Tuesday morning, have a preacher's luncheon, question and answer session Tuesday at noon. I always get in a USA Today paper on Tuesday. I don't read the USA Today paper on Thursday or Friday or Saturday. No, don't come on Saturday. But Monday and Tuesday. Now, I get in the USA Today paper Tuesday afternoon, come back to my room, sit there, drink me a Diet Coke, and read yesterday paper. Now, I have scattered throughout the week little 5 and 10 minute, what's the plural to hiatus? Hiati? Hiatuses? You know what the word hiatus means anyway, do you? I have little 5 or 10 minute periods scattered throughout the entire week that I enjoy. I look forward to them. I live with schedule, and I have them. Now, all I'm saying is this, and I'm through. I am pastor of this church, and for 34 years, I've walked out that door Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'm going to brag on myself. I'm cute. Now I brag on myself again. I'm going to brag on myself. You won't find any living human being who at the same particular time of the week in his schedule is as near the same as I am when I walk out that door. When have you seen me, Brother Tim, When have you seen me walk down the aisle discouraged on a Sunday morning or something that way? That you don't see it. You won't see that. And you know why? Because I am not going to be anything but what you need if I can help it. By the grace of God, I want to be what you need. Now, I'm not trying just to be happy in life. I could do that. That doesn't bother me. I am trying to be what you need. Now, why don't you decide that when you are going to come into contact with the people that you love the most, that you are what they need you to be? To do that, you're going to have to learn yourself and get to know yourself and to know what affects you positively and negatively. Now, you're going to have negatives in life, but you don't have to have negatives right before you get home. You can plan, and you need negatives. You need them. Illustration. I drive by my mother's apartment every morning on the way to work. I do not drive by my mother's apartment at night on the way home. You get it? Now, I'm trying to tell you that life can be lived on purpose. Life has its negatives, but you can so schedule those things that you know are the negatives and the heavy parts of life until when you come to those that you love the most, you can be what you ought to be so you can help them be what they ought to be. One of the little 10-minute periods I have that I enjoy and look forward to is what? Yeah, I'm glad you feel the same way about it. We're going to have a business meeting.